Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Last night I saw that Honest Reporting and Simon Plotzker were following very, very closely the way in which the news of the ceasefire was being reported. I've got another one for you. Simon, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well. How are you?
I'm good. News 24 leading with their headline, Israel and Hamas ceasefire accord followed by airstrikes on Gaza. Israel intensified strikes on Gaza hours after the ceasefire and hostage release deal was announced. There we go. That's South African leading news, according to them, leading news source.
Well, thanks for that, Howard, because, you know, it's early. I haven't actually yet started my day looking at the newspapers, but, you know, it's a horrible, you know, I think that we can probably see what's going to happen the rest of today.
So tell us what you saw last night when this was announced.
So you can normally get a pretty good feel as to what the coverage is going to be like in the immediate aftermath of a big breaking news story like we had last night. And so myself and my team started looking at the newspapers and channel hopping around various channels. And it was quite interesting. One of the first things we saw was this moral equivalence being made between our Israeli hostages and the Palestinian prisoners who are going to be released as part of this deal. So just to give you an example here, the Associated Press spoke about how the three-phased agreement would begin with the release of 33 women, children, old adults, and wounded civilians, obviously on our side, in exchange for, and I quote, hundreds of Palestinian women and children imprisoned by Israel. So the implication here being that Israel has just simply, you know, gathered up and imprisoned innocent Palestinian women and children. Clearly, these people are not just women and children. They've been put in jail for a good reason, for terror and violent offences. And there's no moral equivalence between them and the Israelis who were kidnapped on that horrible day on October 7th.
Whereas we know that, and it's fairly obvious how, I guess it's not a surprise because I was tempted to say to you, how did we get here? Did we get here from October the 7th, or has this been, is this just something that has been there all the time?
No, I think it's been there all the time. I think October 7th and the aftermath of escalated what was already bubbling under the surface. Obviously, you know, we know from many, many years, and I've been doing this job for far too many years, that there is an inbuilt bias in favor of the Palestinians. And just to give you another example, you know, we're talking about how the exchange has been portrayed. In a lot of news articles, I saw a reference to Palestinian detainees held by Israel. Now, if one picks up a dictionary and looks at the definition of a detainee, it is someone who is held usually for political reasons. No, we don't arrest Palestinians for political reasons. We arrest them for terror offences. So, you know, that's another thing that we saw last night. And, you know, we're talking about this inbuilt bias in favour of the Palestinians. I don't know, Howard, whether you watched President Biden's speech that he gave. And to his credit, and to be expected, he spent a significant amount of time focusing on the hostages themselves and their families and the desire to get them back. And I was channel hopping, and I looked at Sky News and the BBC last night, and they took only one segment of Biden's speech, and it was the one where Biden was talking about Palestinian suffering. So effectively, these two news outlets erased the hostages from the coverage in that sense.
Absolutely incredible. How much do they recognize their own bias? Do they believe that they are unbiased and neutral, or do they actually understand that they are following a particular agenda?
I think that depends. So the BBC, for example, claims to be impartial and defends itself by saying we get an equal number of complaints from either side, as if that makes it better. We know there's a problem there. Many other news outlets will say they're reporting on things objectively, but a lot, of course, depends on the journalists themselves. And some of them do have an agenda, and they have no problem advertising on their Twitter feeds that they are, in fact, advocating for the Palestinian cause.
Absolutely astounding. So you've got a very, very busy few days ahead of you, don't you?
It looks like it, yes, I'm afraid to say. But it, you know what, Howard, it's been a very, very busy 15 months. So sadly, we're used to it now.
Yeah. And but I would say, Simon, that there's been a great, and partly because of the work, or really significantly as well, because of the work that you have been doing, and you haven't only been doing it for the past 15 months, but for many years, there does seem to be a much more critical reading of news. Now, it might only be amongst people who want to see it, but there is definitely a sense that as consumers of news, that we are all generally becoming a lot more skeptical. Would you agree with that statement?
I think so. And I think one of the things that Honest Reporting has managed to do is make sure people do question what they're seeing, because we exposed a number of Palestinian stringers in Gaza who were working for mainstream media outlets. And some of them have been fired and moved from their positions because we proved that they were incapable of reporting objectively from Gaza. And therefore, that's something that the mainstream media had to actually deal with.
Very, very interesting. That is where we do have to leave it. It's 9 o'clock. Simon Ploska, I know you changed your whole morning around to speak to us. I really do appreciate it, as do our listeners. Good luck for the next few days, and we'll catch up with you, no doubt, to see how this is evolving.